The greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Derek Grant and Adam McQuaid are squared off right over the saber-toothed tiger. Grant in his first game for Nashville, and they're just trading roundhouses. Adam McQuaid connects. Grant took one right on the kisser. McQuaid, oh, he tagged him again. Grant's got lead in his boots. He's standing there, and he's in. Oh, McQuaid got him again. And again. Oh, the uppercut. Down goes Grant.
He might have to go to the locker
room. But Adam McQuaid can punch as hard as any player who laces up skates.
It is tough to see him grow. It's been 10 years we've been together. Way back in Providence, paired him with Matt Lashoff way back in the day. Became a shutdown defenseman for us, and he actually played second power play. We tried to grow his offensive game. So there's been a lot of work over the years with Adam. So today was a tough morning, but hopefully he gets a great opportunity to play in New York. And we'll miss him, mostly as a person, as a teammate.
Well, that sucks, but it had to happen. Adam McQuaid gets traded yesterday, and just before, of course, the trip to China, which is probably a good move. You don't want to be an a-hole and make him do that 15-hour flight both ways. And then once he gets back saying, oh, by the way, we are going to ship you off. He ended up getting a trade to the Rangers. Bruins get a fourth-round pick, a conditional seventh-round pick, and
salary cap relief.
And some salary cap relief, that's right. And Steven Kampfer, he's back on the roster, and as you said, who knows if he's even going to play. But
he's not going to play.
Yeah, I mean,
No. I said earlier in the show, after looking at that trade, I have a feeling that the Rangers said, okay, we'll send you an extra pick. Just take Steven Kampfer off our roster.
Sure, and that's realistic. So let's get our good friend Joe Haggerty, because it's about that time. We got the Warrior Ice Arena has finally got skaters on it, although right now they don't because they're going to be in China. Hey, Joe Haggerty, did you hear the promo that we're running that on Saturday morning at 2 a.m. you can tune in and hear the Bruins live?
We got it.
That is awesome. You can go out, you can drink all night until the bars close, and then you can watch the Bruins and really rip it up.
Actually, that's the commercial
it's
verbatim.
Great. It is. It's like when you come home from the bar.
That's pretty much it.
Listen to the Bruins. And I think it's fantastic. As a matter of fact, next Wednesday on this show,
yes,
we are going to air, I think it's at 7:30.
A week from today.
It's a 7:30 puck drop, and we are going to air Bruins hockey live from China during our show.
It's almost like during the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals out in the games in Vancouver when I would cover the game or do whatever I had to do all my work. We would go out all night, and then I would have a radio hit with you at 6 o'clock in the morning, which was 3 a.m. that time, and you guys were the last people I talked to before I went to bed. I like it.
It was that lack of sleep buzz. That's why you were so loopy on our show. It was phenomenal.
It was.
So, okay, the Adam McQuaid situation, obviously you agree that this is something that nobody wanted to happen, but it had to happen.
Yeah, obviously, he's a true Bruin. You know, plays hurt, plays tough, stands up for his teammates, is absolutely scares the bejesus out of opponents with the way he can punch and fight and you know, beat people down if somebody goes after, you know, one of his guys on his roster. And, you know, a good guy in the room, extremely selfless, very team-oriented, was a good veteran guy, had won a cup, was, you know, one of the few remaining holdovers from the 2011 Cup team. So, you know, there was a lot of really good things to like about Adam McQuaid as a player and as a person for the Bruins. But at this point, look, he played 38 games for the team last year. He's a healthy scratch for a lot of the season. If he was here, there would have been 8 signed NHL defensemen on the roster. He would not have played, barring a couple of serious injuries. So this allows the Bruins to trade him somewhere, get the $2.75 million off their books, or $2.275 million off their books, and, you know, potentially use that in a trade later on down the line to improve the team. And it allows McQuaid a chance to maybe play a little bit more with the Rangers. You know, the one area where it's really going to affect the Bruins is it's going to force guys like David Backes, Kevin Miller, Zdeno Chara to fight more. And obviously fighting is on the recession in the NHL. It's not as prevalent as it once was, but we all remember the last year or two, Adam McQuaid still dropping the gloves a pretty decent amount and knowing the right time to do it, knowing when he needed to step up when somebody took a bad hit at one of his guys. And now those other players that didn't do it as much are going to have to do it more. And, you know, I don't know that you're going to see Chara doing it that much more. Miller's a decent fighter. Backus is too, but nobody is going to put the fear of God into other teams like McQuaid did. That guy could punch like a hammer, and you're going to miss that in the small quantities where he used it. But, you know, with fighting being down, with the Bruins going in a different direction, more skill, more speed, there was less and less of a place for him on this roster, unfortunately.
Do you think McQuaid was surprised by this trade?
I don't think so. I think all of defensemen knew that something might be coming. You know, with the eight signed guys, once they signed John Moore on July 1st to that five-year contract, the defenseman, you knew somebody was getting dealt. And it was going to be a situation kind of like a few years ago when Johnny Boychuk got traded right before the season started. You knew there were too many defensemen. It wasn't going to make sense to carry all those guys going into the season. You know, I thought for a lot of the summer it might be Torrey Krug if the Bruins were trying to make a really big deal. If they were trying to bring in a top six winger and a sniper to play with David Krejci. But if they're simply just looking to get salary cap relief to ease the depth that they have, the surplus, you know, when you look at Kevin Miller and Adam McQuaid, they're very similar players. You don't need both of them on your roster. It's kind of redundancy. So, you know, I don't think any of them would have been surprised. Obviously, it's a little bit of a jolt when it's a guy like McQuaid that's played his whole career with the Bruins and won a cup with them. And, you know, there were some guys that were definitely upset in the room yesterday when you were talking to them, Brad Marchand, especially one of them. I mean, he's a guy that depends on McQuaid to protect him, given all the hits that Marchand takes. So for guys like that, that take a lot of questionable hits and dirty hits, seeing a guy like McQuaid go is a tough blow for them because they know it's going to be more of an open season on them.
Obviously, the dog's really pissed about this, Joe.
Not happy about the
trade. You wrote this morning, and this is something that merits watching as we move on.
You've got all sorts of animals.
Will the Bruins
versus dog action? This is like Animal Planet.
That's right. Will the Bruins break up their top line? That seems to be the big question as we really start things here in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I think they want to. I think in an ideal world, a young guy stepped up and could play on the right side with Bergeron and Marchand, whether it's Anders Bjork, who played there at the beginning of last year before he got hurt, whether it's Ryan Donato, who's naturally a left winger but has shown the skill and the maturity to be able to play that kind of role. You know, whether it's one of those kind of guys, whether it's Danton Heinen, who had an outstanding rookie season last year and was a very good two-way player. If it's one of those guys steps up and shows they can do it, I think Cassidy would move Pastrnak down with David Krejci and try to split up the offense a little bit and get a little bit more of a diversified offense. We saw in the playoffs against Tampa Bay that they were so one-dimensional with that top line and nobody else could do anything else offensively that they got fairly easy to stop by a good defense. Now, you could easily switch back and forth. I asked Bruce Cassidy about it, and he said that, you know, Pastrnak's played with Krejci and Bergeron plenty before, so it's going to be easy for him to swing either way. And what we could see is sort of a hybrid situation where, depending on who they're playing, they could change things up. You know, if it's a team that they don't feel like is great defensively and they could just roll the top line out there and blow them out of the water, maybe you see Pastrnak and Bergeron and Marchand together. If it's a team like Tampa or some of the other deeper, better defensive teams in the league that they might see in the playoffs, maybe you see Pastrnak drop down with Krejci, and you see the offense get spread out a little bit more. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach it, but I can tell you right now, if the Bruins need a goal and it's in the third period, how are you going to stay away from doing that when you know how dynamic they are offensively and you know that they can create at any moment? I mean, being able to go to something like that, that other teams fear, that other teams are worried about, and obviously, when you're the best line in the NHL, other teams really have to account for that. That's going to be something that's going to be hard to go away from for the entire season. I think we're going to see that at some point, put it that way.
All right, Joe, we just got a minute left, but you had a really good article last week about David Krejci and how, you know, during the whole John Tavares sweepstakes, as everyone was freaking out, and there was rumors, not rumors, I mean, the Bruins were in it. They had a meeting. That this was something that David Krejci did not find entertaining at all, and he seemed to be upset by the whole situation. Do you think it's to the point where there's hard feelings against the Bruins? Like, where's his head at right now? I thought your article did a pretty good job kind of spilling things out.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. I think I wouldn't say there's hard feelings. I think Krejci's enough of a pro and he's been around long enough that he understands the business. But I do think this was the first realization he had that the Bruins are actively seeking replacements for him, or if something better comes along, they're going to really look into it and go after it. And he might end up being the third line center or shipped to another team, traded to Carolina or somewhere else. You know, and for a guy that's won a cup here, that's, you know, been the leading scorer in the playoffs a couple times, taking them to the cup finals, and has been a top six center his entire career here, basically. I think that was a tough pill to swallow. And I think it was a little bit of a reality check for him. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And if he has a hard time with that, you know, moving forward, I don't think he's going to, but like I said, he's been around a long time. He'll be able to compartmentalize it a little bit, but you know, I also know that, you know, once players start to look over their shoulder and start to think they're replaceable and start to know that the team maybe, you know, doesn't have all of the faith in the world in them and that would replace them if they could, that can affect the player's psyche for sure. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right. So I take it you're not going to China, right?
No. Okay. I am staying here. My wife would have absolutely frigging killed me if I left her with two kids, five and under, for like 10 days. So no, I will not be going.
So you'll be sitting up with the rest of us at 2 a.m. and listening to here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, Greg.
Yeah. Let's go, Rich. Let's go out, have a bunch of beers on Friday night, and then we'll sit together huddled by the radio listening to the Bruins at 2 o'clock.
You really need to hear the commercial for this game,
Joe.
I'm telling you.
Because they know what
I'm
it is.
To.
It's going to be a bunch of drunk people hungover listening to the game, which I'm A-okay with.
It's great.
Matter of fact, I think we should have a listening party somewhere. Have the station sponsored. It can't be a bar because they all got to close by that point, but we'll see. All right, Joe Haggerty, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
We have a
really quick, really interesting phone call. I have no idea what this is about. I have no idea what's going on here.
Let's hear this.
Tell you what, tell her to hold on. Tell her to hold on.
Oh.
And when we come back, we have one of our favorites who's calls in the show. She's on hold, and I have no idea what she wants here. I see what's written on the screen, so I don't know what's happening. But this could be interesting. We will speak with her right after this.
Toucher and Rich.
.5 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Once again, I don't know where this is going. I just know that everyone loves Nora. Nora, of course, is the lovely listener who came in studio during the Worse Than Tom Brady contest that we did. And she submitted a video in which she opened up her purse and there were a bunch of nips of alcohol. And she
actually brought them to the studio with her, if you remember correctly.
That's right. That's right. And she was on Townie Jeopardy and immediately knew the name of the liquor store that I was describing, that being Bunghole Liquors, the world famous one.
She knew immediately. Yep.
She knew it immediately. And Nora, who is coming a couple of times, I think she was here for, the worst Tom Brady in that. I guess only twice. But either way, we do love her. She's calling in, and I'm not quite sure why. Nora, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm concerned. I hear that you are a bit worried or a bit troubled right now. What can we do to help you, good Nora?
So, like 6 months ago, I think it was like the last time, maybe the last time I talked to you guys on air, something like that. I had announced that I was single and all that, and of course, I was inundated with a bunch of messages from strangers and
our listeners.
So, yeah,
you call them strangers; we call them friends.
Yeah.
There was this one guy who messaged me, and he was the only one I responded to out of all of them. And then a couple months later, we started dating.
Okay, now why? Okay, so, real quick, back up. Well, why him? Why was he the only one that you responded to?
Because he was so normal. He wasn't saying anything like,
"Hey, Nora, your phone's all freaky. Can you call us back in a better area? Your phone.
Yeah, I might just. Hold on. Is it good now?
No, it's pretty cruddy, Nora.
Hey, you got to give us a call back.
Call us back on a landline. Just call us back, okay? Because I want to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, I'm a little...
We're concerned about you.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. This is the first half of this we discussed yesterday, and that was the Sports Illustrated came out with their top 100 NBA players of 2019, and they had released 100 through 51, and the thing that was obviously funny about it involving the Boston Celtics was that you had a Marcus Smart not making the list. However, at number, was it 87. Is that right?
Terry Rozier.
Yeah, was he? Yeah, 82. At number 82, yeah. Terry Rozier came in, which is kind of funny because, you know, obviously all the money that Marcus Smart just made, but there you go. You got Terry Rozier there, so which made us all immediately go, well, of course, then that means the five starters have got to be in the top 50. Well, since then, it has all been actually number 31 through 50 has been released. And coming in at number, have you seen it yet, John?
No, I have not.
Okay. Who do you think came in at number 47? That is the second to last in this list.
It's not Hayward. It's not Horford. It's not Kyrie. So it's got to be one of the other two. And Tatum is too high. I think Tatum really came on strong. I'll say Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. You are correct. He comes in at number 47. They say something about Brown is undeniable. Maybe it's the way he takes borderline transition opportunities, the kind of other players might slow down and reset and jams him down the opponent's throat. It could be the wholeheartedness in his soaring contest, each making the blah, 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 blah. But either way, they like him. And now, who came in next on this list?
Jason Tatum.
Boom. Jason Tatum.
Ahead of Horford, too, and behind Horford. I was going to say Horford, but I guess didn't get it right.
You see, but the thing is, this is written by stat guys. This is written by guys who break down and put, you know, what's not on the stat sheet. They're the ones who take a look at that. So Jason Tatum comes in at number 39. Now, you have to put him at a place like this. You can't put him much higher than that. As great as he was during the playoffs, we saw that. I mean, you're really jumping the gun if you're going to immediately start crowning this guy.
1 year, he's a top 40 player in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive as hell. I mean, you saw what happened once he started getting more touches. He became essentially the guy that everyone would hope he would be.
How many other rookies made? I assume Ben Simmons is in there somewhere.
Ooh, I would like to see if Simmons
is
in there.
I mean, that's the thing. 31 through 50, how many first-year players are there?
That is an excellent question. Ben Simmons.
Dan said Donovan Mitchell in the other room. I think Donovan Mitchell was in the 50s somewhere.
Ooh, I don't see Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons
might just be a good argument to make after 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
I'll try and look it up, too.
If Ben Simmons is in the top 30, there's something wrong.
Well, I haven't seen him.
Because I don't see him on this list.
Yeah.
And by the way, Ben Simmons and LeBron have the same agent. I guess they just announced that LeBron's going to be producing a TV show about Ben Simmons' life, like, growing up. And it's like apparently people were fighting over it so much that they've got this kind of deal that if they make the pilot and they don't run it, the network has to pay LeBron James and Ben Simmons. It's almost like a penalty fee if it doesn't become a success. So Ben Simmons, who just absolutely crapped himself during the playoffs, as we saw, is more of
take it back. I haven't seen Donovan Mitchell yet. He's higher.
See, I don't.
I'm looking at it now for the first time.
Okay, Mitchell, I would almost understand, but Ben Simmons can't shoot. Ben Simmons is and who knows if that's going to get much better.
Mitchell's 34.
Okay, he's number 34.
Yeah,
all right. Well,
Mitchell's
then
just ahead of
well, that makes
Tatum.
Sense then
Mitchell's
that makes
34.
Sense to me. But if Ben Simmons is in the top 30, that's ridiculous. All right, Nora's back. That's more important. Nora, is your phone issue settled? Are you good?
I think I'm good.
Okay, that sounds a lot better. Okay, so you were telling us that there was a gentleman who, after you were on the show, you had just broken up with your boyfriend. What was it about this guy that made you respond to only him?
I mean, his approach was just, it wasn't creepy. It wasn't weird. I looked at his profile and I was like, oh, he's really good looking and he seems normal and different.
Did he look like Big Jim Murray? Because that's what you said your ideal
guy
looked like.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's right.
Did he rock the scally cap and have the tats? Did he look like
him? No, no, no.
Okay.
He's got the tats and he's tall and he's got a beard, but no other similarities.
Okay, so you guys started dating because of our show.
Exactly. You guys brought us together.
Okay, excellent.
So, everything, you know, going great. Really happy with the whole situation. And, you know, we would always joke about, like, oh, when we get married, we have to invite Fred and Rich to our wedding because they brought us together, and just joke about that stuff.
Well, but for anything, we're matchmakers. We are we're Cupids in the human form.
So his name is Chris, by the way. And so the past couple days have been an emotional roller coaster for us both. We've both just been going through stuff personally. And last night we got in this big, really, really stupid blowout over just like dumb social media stuff. And so now we're in a weird face, and I know he's really mad at me, so I just wanted to come on air and tell him how sorry I am and how much I do care and love him and all that.
And you're coming on because you know he's going to be listening? Is that it?
Yes, exactly.
See, I think you should, instead of doing that, you should just stop right there and fish for other listeners that might want to date you. Maybe there's an upgrade.
Rich, that isn't nice. What if these two kids are meant to be together? What's wrong with you?
Obviously not. They're fighting.
Well, that happens to a lot of couples other than you and your wife. A lot of other people have this problem.
Not when it's true love, Nora. Somewhere there's a weirdo behind the keyboard.
She didn't meet this guy when she was 14. It's a little different here.
Somewhere there's a weirdo behind the keyboard who's going to profess his love to you. And I think that maybe, right, just maybe.
Nora, don't listen to him.
I'm the weirdo behind the keyboard that I like.
But does he look like Big Jim Murray enough?
Nora, don't listen to him.
He's not. Listen, you don't deny yourself what you truly want, and that is a guy who rocks a Scally cap and has massive tats and won't get in a fight with
Maybe
you.
Maybe you give him one for Christmas. You know? Okay. I mean, it's always that possibility.
Yeah, but I could just, weasel that in there and just get the best of both worlds.
So you said this is just dumb social media stuff.
It blew up one to the point where it was just like, oh, there's just no point of return.
Okay, so who's
all crazy?
Whose fault was it, yours or his?
Mine.
Okay. All right. Was it like a picture with a dude? Is that what it was? Just like a friend, like a harmless picture with a guy, and he kind of got nuts?
No. It was nothing like that. It was just like having an insecure moment.
Did you go nuts on him because it was a picture with a girl? Yeah.
It was me.
Okay. And it was an innocent photo, right?
No, it wasn't even a photo. It was just like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
he was like talking to you. You saw them like tweeting or doing whatever back and forth.
No, it wasn't anything like that. It was just like, nothing. I don't want to get into details.
Okay, just be vague. What set you off? Was he texting back and forth?
No. Nothing. He wasn't like talking to anyone or anything like that. It was just something that I was, which it literally was nothing. And I just had a glass of wine and was probably not in my right mind.
I've already getting tweets to you that say, marry me. Our listeners are already at it. Just in case.
Stay strong, Nora. Stay true to your one guy.
Because every time we have you on, it happens. Everyone's like, who is she? How can I meet her? Blah, 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 blah. Every time we have you on. And when we had you on TV, everyone's like, yeah. So I just, you know what?
Stay strong to this guy. And if it doesn't work out, there are backup plans galore.
He's a listener of ours. So I obviously think that he's obviously got somewhat of a good bit of sense. And he's probably an okay guy. But I'm just telling you. You know,
he's a very good guy.
Okay, good. Well, then I hope it works out, and I hope that John Walk is there to officiate your wedding with his big giant head.
I'm free to have. I'm wide open. That's fine.
All right, excellent. All right. Well, hopefully that worked. And give me an update. I want to make sure that the magic is back in the relationship. Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks. Nora. Good to hear from you. All right. Well, let's see how that
you were no help at all. None.
I thought
you were no.
I
help.
Let her on.
No.
I gave her the magic of the airwaves. All right. And just call me Cupid. I'm a little human Cupid.
No respect. No respect for the bond between a man and a woman. Obviously, in a tough place, but trying to work things out.
No, listen.
You know? You know. Stepped all over it. Pushed her in an opposite direction.
Someone said he probably didn't hit the like button on one of her posts. And then she went off. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get the stack right after John Walk's
relationships.
Headline. Yeah.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and a couple of quick show notes. Tomorrow, by the way, the Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 8, we will have in studio The Darkness performing live, which would have ruled because I freaking love that band more than most people. Even the new stuff. Don't tease me like that, Dan O'Brien. I thought you were surprising me. No, in studio at 7 a.m. Will be the great Troy Brown, our good friend. He's going to be here. Every Monday, or actually every day after the Patriots game, except this week, we will start him on Thursday. And he will be here to talk about this upcoming matchup with the Jaguars.
Want to hear him talk about Jalen Ramsey a lot.
Oh, sure.
Ramsey against Gronk this weekend is going to be great to watch.
Yeah, so Troy Brown is going to be a weekly guest in studio with us the day after every Patriots game, and it will start actually this Thursday, tomorrow. Also, in studio tomorrow at 9 a.m. is going to be Fred Toucher. No, he'll actually be here finally, hopefully at 6 a.m.
9.
He will be
He's
here.
He's going to come in for an hour at the end.
No, we'll have him in here. There's
All right.
Hey. He won't be in tomorrow. They got a shiva for the cat for 7 days. And maybe they'll bury it next week. Fred's out next 2 weeks.
Just call him. Scott, call him. All right, Scott.
If he's in need of emotional support, Zolak, Jesus.
I stand up for Fred. I stand up for any of the coworkers here. Whenever
sense.
They say they've got it, they need a day off.
No, we kid. Of course.
No question asked. So. Yeah. Scott is on a rampage. He wants to know the truth. And I told him his cat's sick and it might die today. So I think Scott's going to be mad if the cat doesn't actually die. He's going to call.
Okay.
I have a feeling that's like Scott will go nuts tomorrow. So. Tomorrow, Fred will not only be back, but also at 9 o'clock, welcome back, Fred, Paul Wahlberger in studio. As a matter of fact, okay. They're going to be filming an episode of Wahlbergers.
We get some food out of this?
I call him Paul Wahlberger.
It's funny how you the last name is Wahlberg, but everybody just says Wahlberger.
Yeah, he's Wahlberger. Yeah. So he's going to be in studio, I think, at 9 o'clock.
Is he cooking for us? Do we get hamburgers out of this?
Yeah, I guess.
I think there's a meet and eat, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right.
Is that contest still going on in case people want to meet him?
It is done.
Yeah, okay. You know who's the biggest Wahlbergers fan is my mother.
There's Kevin McHale. What else are we talking about?
No.
There's Dan Roach.
She loves.
I know
Dan
she
Roach.
Likes Kevin McHale. She likes Dan Roach. She likes Paul.
But it's like Wahlbergers. Oh my goodness gracious! So she's excited. Is he gonna bring in his brothers? Oh, Blue Bloods. They're Catholic. They pray. Like she's like all into that. All right. So apparently, all you got to do is just say a prayer, and she's a huge fan. Which brings me to Mark Wahlberg, which is another reason she loves Mark Wahlberg, despite the fact that he made Patriots Day. Mark Wahlberg is another person my mother loves because he apparently prays every day, and that is evident by something that he tweeted out just yesterday. As a matter of fact, on his Instagram, he put his daily schedule, his typical daily schedule when he's not filming a movie. And it starts like this. At 2:30 a.m., he wakes up. At 2:45 is prayer time. At 3:15 is breakfast. And then from 3:40 to 5:15, guess what that dude's doing?
Pumping iron.
Dude, he's getting jacked.
Yep.
From 3:40 to 5:15. And at 5:30, it's a post-workout meal. 6 a.m. shower. 7:30 a.m. golf. That's a long-ass shower. So at 7:30, he goes and plays golf after his 6 o'clock shower.
I've seen a couple episodes of Wahlbergers where he's on the phone with his mother saying, Mom, I'm going to play golf. He's like in his garage
and
getting his clubs together.
And he loves his mom. That's why my mom is obsessed.
Yeah.
7:30 a.m., he plays golf. 8 o'clock snack. 9:30 a.m., cryo chamber recovery. That is also the fastest. He's the slowest shower taker and fastest golfer I've ever seen. So at 7:30, he plays golf. At 9:30, he's in a cryo chamber.
Plays nine.
He just rocks nine?
That's why, yeah.
Okay.
A good round is 3:45 to 4 hours, so he obviously just plays nine.
Okay, then at 10:30 a.m., it's snack time. 11 o'clock, family time / meetings / work calls / flexing. At 1 o'clock, lunch, 2 p.m. meetings / work calls, 3 o'clock, pick up the kids at school. You see, he cares about his family, too. My mom loves that. 3:30 p.m. is a snack. At 4 o'clock, guess what he's doing at 4 o'clock?
Prayer.
He's pumping iron again.
Oh, he's about two workouts.
Workout number two.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. Or that maybe that just means he uses the bathroom from all the food he's been eating. It's workout number two. 5 o'clock, shower. 5:30, dinner and family time. And then 7:30 p.m., bedtime. So there you go. He is a how can you live a life? I've always thought this. How can you live a life and miss out on everything that happens at night? Like there's
well,
news
with kids,
anchors.
With kids, no one goes to sleep at 7:30. Nobody.
No. I'm talking about like you see these people who like anchor the morning news, and I always hear them going, oh, got to go to bed by 8. I'm like, how can you be a human being and go to bed at 8 o'clock? All the good stuff happens after 8 o'clock in life. I mean, there's all the great TVs on, all the great sporting events. There's, you know, you go out to dinner. There's, you know, parties. How can you go to sleep and think that you lived a full life at 7:30? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'm probably going to die 10 years earlier before everyone else because despite our schedule. I refuse to go to bed before 11 or 11:30. But that's when the good stuff happens. I can't. And how can you, like, oh, I'm going to go rest. And you know the whole rest of the world's, like, having a great time. How can you do that? I don't understand it for a moment. And I know you like to go to bed sometimes before Red Sox games and then wake up early to watch them. Which,
well, no, that's on the West Coast, man. I mean, give me a break here. I'm the one staying up late on Sunday night watching the games here. Come on, give me a little credit.
It depends.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends.
How does it depend?
It depends. Red Sox, yes. But, like, you've fallen asleep on, like, big nights before the game's over, have you not?
I have, but okay. I mean, damn sure I woke up. I mean, that was just because I was exhausted. That had nothing to do with physical thing. You know what? I'm going to put this game to the side.
I
need to watch this. I'm going to sleep at 8:30.
I just imagine you waking up and, like, your alarm, it's like Pee-wee's, you know, Pee-wee's play. Like, the window, the blinds just fly open and Socks in Two comes on your TV.
That's right.
Oh!
That's right. I used to have it that way. The wife got pissed.
That's right. Like a little bird flies in, sings on your shoulder. Is it time to watch Sox and Two?
Yes, it is.
Sure is, buddy.
Yep.
And then it goes on, and you're all set for the day. Well, if you want to know how much the Raiders missed Khalil Mack in week one, here's one stat that will basically put it in perspective. Because you might be the only person other than John Gruden that realizes that they shouldn't have gotten rid of the guy. So the Raiders recorded an NFL low 5 quarterback pressures in week one versus the Rams. They achieved 5 or fewer pressures just once in Khalil Mack's 64 career games with the Raiders. As a matter of fact, if you watch that game, the whole time you're thinking to yourself, boy, they sure could use a guy like Khalil Mack. Yeah. What an absolute mess.
And John Gruden said he didn't want to be there. So by all means, don't reach out and talk to him.
No, there's not want to be there, and then there's rework my contract, and I'll play.
Of course, that's obviously, that was the thing.
Oh, good old John Gruden. Who's going to be a bigger disaster this year, John Gruden or Matt Patricia?
Toss up right now.
There's part of me that thinks
there's
part of me that thinks that Patricia's going to kind of figure it out. Now, he has a really tough schedule, like really tough. However,
Gruden's got to rework the whole way he thinks. Again, spending a decade away from the game is not a recipe usually to get 10-year, $100 million contracts. Mm-hmm. But now that he's been given one, I mean, Gruden can settle in and do what he wants. He can get rid of whoever he wants. I mean, Mark Davis is going to eat $100 million. I mean, he's got 5 or 6 years to do whatever he wants, and the Raiders are powerless to stop him.
By the way, speaking of all of that, Fenway Park, it was announced yesterday, in February, is going to host another extreme winter sports event. You know, they did that a couple years ago, and there was that huge...
Oh, the ski jumping thing?
Yeah. Except this time it's going to be ice cross downhill, which is essentially this mammoth...
It's ski jumping without the little curl at the end.
Yeah, it's like big-ass ski jumping, and it's almost a maze that they make that starts right there in the outfield, and it goes in zigzags all the way down to home. And to that, I just say, when you bring it back, Spooky World. I just want Spooky World to return to Fenway Park.
Who's the groundskeeper at Fenway? Is it Malore? I mean, I just feel really bad.
How would
for
you
that
know
guy.
Who the groundskeeper at Fenway is?
I don't know. I do. I happen to
Dumb
know.
Question, Rich.
I just happen to know. I grew up here. You're not from here. You wouldn't understand.
In the other room, how many people know who the groundskeeper at Fenway is? Raise your hand. No, of course not.
Nobody.
No.
I happen to know. I don't see the problem
with
this.
Did you grow up in the Massachusetts area? Did you?
I happen to know the answer to this. I was at Fenway a lot when I was young.
Borderline stalker. All right, 617-779-0985. We will talk to a very angry Scott Zolak at Why Fred Isn't Here, and Mark Bertrand right after this.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
We're 30 seconds until kickoff on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and surprisingly, no one has seen Bill Belichick.
This is crazy, Bob. I mean, he's the first guy that's always on the field, ready to go. First guy to have his team ready. And oh my God, what the hell is that?
All the lights have just gone off in Gillette Stadium. Wait a minute. There's now one lone spotlight shining on an older gentleman who looks to be dressed as Superman. He's now sliding down some zip line from the 300 section as Living on a Prayer begins to play over the loudspeakers.
It's like Richie Sambora. Look out, Bob. It looks like Bill Belichick has got Bon Jovi.
Unreal. Bill has now landed onto a stage with exploding pyro and smoke. Gigantic letters behind him flashing, Kiss My Ring. Get to crack a smile.
This is great, Bob Belichick. Play some Sugar on Me.
Woo! 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I play that because one of the gentlemen who is part of your Patriots radio broadcast is sitting to my left, and we got to do that again. That was fun.
Yeah. Am I up?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know how long it took me to convince Bob to actually read that?
Oh, you could tell. I mean, and what?
I can't say kiss my ring. So, yes, you can for a bit. We're not selling something for the team.
The best is, and it's one of the hardest I've laughed in the show, was when you couldn't get through that one line about being hit in the fart box.
Stink trumpet.
Yeah. It was. And, I mean, it's one of my favorite moments, just hearing the outtakes of you and Sosie trying to get through it. So I do know that he had needed to have the encouragement to get it done. So I appreciate you pushing
problem.
Him.
Okay. He wasn't going to do it.
Well, of course
not. Mr. Professional Bob.
Straight lights.
I can't read this.
So this is weird. You're here on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we're here on a Wednesday. As you can tell, Coach's press conference is at 11:30 today. And normally, from every Wednesday, doing it in the past, it would be around 9:15. Then I would tape All Access with him. And we'd be down at the old CBS scene, which is no longer. So that is gone. Mm-hmm. And not the fact that is gone. We go to another location. That doesn't matter. So Coach wants to get all the taping done on Tuesday. We did everything yesterday.
Okay.
So what we're going to do from this point forward, and we will have some juggling with our show. So Burt Breer will be in with us today.
The head guy at MMQB. Did you see the official announcement?
Big announcement for Burt Breer. We'll let him divulge into that a little bit more. And we have... Dan Shaughnessy on Thursdays now. So Thursdays during the football season, Dan will be with us. And we'll be alone down there in Foxborough only on Tuesdays.
I texted Burt Breer for an idea of one of his MMQB stories. I said, you need to get in the conversion van of Mark Davis's and travel with him from Oakland to Las Vegas and just document what happens.
Yeah.
That will be your most clicked on story of the year, without any doubt in my mind.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't want to know what a day, like 24 hours with Mark Davis is like?
You don't
want
to know what it smells like.
Yeah.
Right. It smells like cheese.
I want to know the sounds, the smells, the P.F. Chang tastes, everything that comes along with that story.
How many pairs of white jeans are in there?
Right. Well, I mean, it's just one. He just wears them over and over again.
All right. So you're going to Jacksonville. Team's flying out the day before like they always do.
Yeah, we usually take off out of TF Green around 2:30, 3 o'clock. I wouldn't be shocked if they push this back a little further to make sure the rain's gone.
The hurricane, apparently, after it makes landfall, is going to turn south a little bit towards northern Florida. So I would think maybe your travel plans would be altered a little bit.
Mm, we'll see. I'm a nice man. Plane Wallach. We landed that sucker in hurricanes.
Oh, that's true. And it's back from London. That's right.
You know, they've moved a bunch of college games this weekend.
Yes, Boston College is at Wake Forest tomorrow night. They moved kickoff up 2 hours to get the kids out of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's just going to be like rain in Jacksonville this weekend. Like it's going to be hard rain possibly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not the kind of rain they're getting on the coast of
Of course not. But I didn't hear that it had turned towards.
Yeah, after it makes landfall, it's supposed to turn south a little bit.
Oh, that sucks. They're saying this is going to hit North Carolina. It is a hurricane as big as the state of North Carolina.
Yes. Wow.
So this is no joke. All right.
And keep us posted on Fred's cat so we where visitation hours are and all that.
Sure. Should give him a call on the show. Maybe you can do that. All right. Fred will be back. Paul Wahlberg tomorrow. Also, Troy Brown in studio at 7 o'clock.
Doo-doo.
We will see you then.
Doo-doo,
bye.